There is no, like, there's no static, like, oh, this is life and it's always going to be. There's always this issue of transition in our lives. And it doesn't necessarily have to be moving place or things, but the scripture always says, like, the just shall live by faith, that we move from glory to glory. And so to know God and to follow him, which is so important. You can't worship him and not follow him. There's movement involved. And the question is kind of where are we going and what it's all about, right? Well, Jeremiah 29:11 says very clearly that God has good plans for us. And as we've been looking at the book of James, we're going to be in chapter 4 today. I mean, James has just said it from the beginning. God's plan, regardless of what you're going through, and everybody needs to hear this morning, regardless of what you're going through, God's plan is to get you to a place where you are mature, complete, and not lacking anything. And I would say it this way. God's plans are always for his glory, your good, and for the growth of others. Like, that's what God wants to do. He's putting this together. And so James is telling us, now be careful, because the way God wants to get you to his plans are not going to be exactly what you expect, right? I mean, who's ever been there? It's like, oh, that totally happened the way I totally pictured it, right? Anybody living there? Because you need to write a book, if that's you. That's just not how it goes. We're in this place, and James has been telling us, I mean, if James was around today, he'd say, like, I don't know if you're a Google Map or Waze person or whatever, but it's like, it's this, bro. You know, it's this idea that life has detours, and there are things you got to get around, and the straightest path to you is not always the path you're going. And James has told us, first of all, you've got trials, and they just, you think God wants to take you on the super highway of comfort, success, and ease, and that's not where he's taking you. You're going all these back roads, and you're like, are we ever going to get there? And James is saying, no, you are. Just persevere. Then we look last week, hey, be careful of your words. Be careful of your words, because this thing is not your friend, right? This thing can really get you off course if you're not careful. And so now when we get to James chapter 4, here's where James says, okay, here's the issue of what is keeping you from where you are to where God wants you to go. What's the major obstacle? And guess what? It ain't those people around you. It's not your financial situation. It's not your talent level. James is pretty clear. There's one thing that's between us and where God wants to take us. And it's really the story of the entire Bible that started in Genesis 3. It's this issue of pride. Right? I mean, from the very beginning, that's the issue. Somehow I think I know better than God. Somehow God isn't doing what he needs to do. I've got a better way to do it. I've got my own GPS. That's pride. So James 4. Now, I'm not going to go verse by verse because you can study it this week in our devotional for this week. You can pick it up on the foyer on the way out. But what does James say? He says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God with a surrendered heart, and he will come near to you. This is the call of the entire Bible. It's pride. Pride is the obstacle. One pastor made a comment about this, and I think it's what James is going after in chapter 4. He says, look, pride is a funny thing. We can easily spot it in others, but we can't see it in ourselves. Some of the proudest people I've ever met thought of themselves as being very humble, but never realized how their pride was destroying every relationship and blessing God wanted to give them. Ever been around that really like super spiritual person who's also, you know, the pride's working, right? And here's our tendency. We have a tendency to say, oh yeah, that pride, that's awful in those people. Like, that's our tendency, right? And we just don't quite see it in ourselves. And this is what James goes after. Because what he does is after some of the most famous words of James ever come, like, you know, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself before God and he will lift you up. Like, we know all those verses, but we tend to skim through the next ones. Because the next verses where James says, because remember in chapter 2, he says, yeah, you look at the word and then you walk away and you don't really pay attention to what it's showing you. So James, you can tell he's thinking like this in James chapter 4 because he says something in 13 that honestly is just kind of pure brilliance. But most of us just, oh yeah, 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 yada, yada, where's the next really important thing James says? Here it is. He says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. All such, he says, like, that's that right there, that boasting word is the word for pride. It's evil. And you're like, then all of a sudden you're stopped. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I thought we were talking about really big evil people in the world who are proud. No, James is saying, wait a minute. I'm talking about you. He said, this right here is pride. Now, as we're going to find out, James is not against planning. He's just against being deceived. Because in the end, only God knows these things. And he's saying, look, you got to be careful about this. He basically breaks it down this way. Pride makes us think we're in control. I'm in control of when I do things. I'm going to be in control of where I will go. I'm going to be controlling how long I will do things. I'm going to be controlled of the success I will have. And God says, COVID. Oh, God says, doctor's appointment. God says, sick parent that you got to take care of, or tragedy. And no. See, we've got to remember that these are things, the sovereignty of God. This is God's territory, not ours. And it's interesting. I share with you that part of, I think, we talk about being a healthy person, and so part of my commitment to emotional, mental, spiritual health is, like, I see a counselor twice a month. And hey, help me see me. Help me make sure I'm understanding. And just 2 weeks ago, we're talking about, I really want this to happen well. And I'm so upset about what's going on. And I feel, I don't know what I can do and stuff like that. And he looks at me, he says, oh, so you think you're in control? I was, what? It's like, isn't this the part where you like say, oh, that's so great that you feel that way and you love people so much? And he's like, no. He's like, so you think you're in control of all that stuff? I'm like, no, I don't think I'm in control. I just think if everybody did it my way, it would get better. You know, it's just, that's different. He's like, no, you think you can control that. I'm like, what? He said, look, Sean, I love this. This is big. He said, you get most upset about things that violate what you believe the most. The more upset, the more negative reaction you have to something that goes on, the more it's a sign that something you believe is not working. So I'm not upset about things I don't care about. But when I think I have the ability to control this and then it doesn't work out, I get what? I get upset. And it was, you know, that was just 2 weeks ago. I didn't even know I was going to be preaching on this. And it was just this idea. And then my counselor said this. It was really, really good. So said this. Hey, Sean. You can't control people or circumstances like God. You can only steward them for God and trust his ways. That's pretty good, right? Like, hey, Sean, you can't control that. You can steward what God's doing, but you can't make it happen. And I just think that's a pretty fresh reminder of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Hey, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So I start reading that verse. I start thinking about, hey, I say that a lot. And again, James isn't against planning. He's just against this issue of, like, be careful, because here's the three things pride does. It blocks you from God. It blinds you from truth. And it absolutely brings you to your knees at the end. Right? God opposes the proud, so it blocks you from God. It blocks you from his blessings. I love this story, and in honor of John Hine, I'm going to tell it. And John, you probably know this story, and you probably could tell a lot better. But it's a story about a Navy battleship. And of course, we know that John served there. And I'm often reminded in all the comments he makes. There's always a Navy comment in there somewhere. So I'm probably not going to tell this story as well as he could. But I love this story, and let me get there. There's this urban legend, and it's actually a pretty famous one, about a U.S. Navy battleship. And the story goes that it's had a string of decisive victories, and it's heading back home. And as it's going, it's in the middle of the night, and it's foggy out, and it sees a light, what appears to be an oncoming ship, right? And so the captain, you know, recognizing that this light and us, we're like in the same course here, tells the ensign, hey, send this message. Hey, please divert 15 degrees south to avoid collision. To which the reply comes back, sir, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees south to avoid collision. Well, that kind of takes the captain back a little bit. He's like, hey, tell him again. Same message, same reply. Well, the commander, the captain's getting a little upset now. Like, who does he think he is? Like, I'm on a battleship. Who's this fishing boat in front of me, right? So he says, excuse me. He gets on the radio, says, this is Captain So-and-so of the U.S. Navy. I say again, divert your course. The reply comes back, this is Ensign So-and-so. You know, just low rank. It's just, Captain, please divert your course immediately. Oh, now the captain's getting mad. He's gripping that thing pretty hard. And now with just practically, yeah, I said, Ensign, this is the aircraft carrier So-and-so. We are the largest warship in the U.S. Navy. Divert your course now. The reply comes back, Captain, this is a lighthouse. Your call. See, that's pride though, right? Don't you know who I am? Do you know how big I am? You know how much I've done? You know how much power I've got? To which the light ahead says, just a suffering servant, but kind of suggests you change your course. See, this is James. Now, I kind of feel like, and Pastor Nidia, are we able to come back to worship? We are? Okay. I just kind of feel like I'm kind of going to get us ready here. Give me about 5 minutes. James says something really interesting. I'm just going to touch on it. And then I just feel like we need to have another moment of worship this morning in which we get back to the place of, okay, maybe I came into worship like the captain saying, I'm a warship. And maybe we just need another moment of worship to say, you're the lighthouse. And maybe I need to pay a little bit more attention to the way you're saying, divert your course. Be careful of pride. Be careful. Because there's a collision coming and you ain't going to win. Right? So just notice what James says right here. He says, yet you do not know. Pride blinds us. We think we know things, we don't know them at all. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. Three things here. I'm just going to show them real quick. What don't we know? We don't know that we are not in charge of tomorrow. We do not know what life is really about. And we've forgotten that he's Lord. See, that's what pride does. Pride thinks, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now again, James is not against planning. He's just against deception. Because we live in a world where we're so thinking about like anti-God. But really the worst thing that can ever happen in the world is godlessness. God's just not there in our thoughts, in our decisions. But we're Christians and we can become godless in the way we think about our career, about our family, about our purpose. He says, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. I think about Isaiah, where it talks about how Satan himself used to be the most beautiful angel. God blessed him and gave him so much. And in pride, it turned into, I should be better than God. Like, God, like, why is God above me? I should be above him. Man, that's the world we live in. We take what God does to bless us and we turn it into pride that blinds us from who God is. And I love this whole idea, like, hey, do you remember what your life is? It's a mist. And it's the coldest day, and you take a breath, and you see it, and it's gone. That's life. Life is just a little introduction for eternity. It's all it is. Just the beginning. And what's most important is our faith in Christ, the family he gives us and makes around us, and his fame for the rest of the world. Like, that's it. That's what we're going for. This is what life's about. Like, my course is not, I'm going to go wherever I want to go because I think I know how to get there. It's, Lord, what would it be like to follow you, to live for you, and to love the people around me as best as possible? And I love this whole thing. It's like, if the Lord wills, that's where I'm going to go. I'm always going to trust in him with all of my heart. I'm going to lean not onto my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge him. And I just think there's this issue that, again, Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans I have for you. They're plans to prosper you. And what's the next words? And not to harm you. I think it was Dr. Henry Cloud who was talking the difference between hurt and harm, says, my dentist hurts me all the time, but never harms me. All our dentists, we love you. We've got actually a lot of them at Cornerstone. You know, there are things where it's like, hey, this hurts. This isn't easy. And Jesus says, pick up your cross, follow me. I'm not harming you, but what you're going through does hurt, and I'm there. And so I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up if they can. And I just thought, man, I could preach a million things, or we could just get back in his presence. And if there's any way we've got a battleship mentality about what's going on in life, we could just kind of change that and say, God, I want to get back to the place of remembering who you are and what life is all about, and that I don't know tomorrow. If I could just mention this, we're so tempted to be like, oh yeah, that like tomorrow thing, yada, yada, yada. But I am going to really just decide what I'm going to do anyway. Like Pastor Nidra mentioned, August 8th is the next water baptism. But what if we're like, oh, I got time for that. I know when tomorrow's going to be. I'm not going to do it then. I'll just do it later. How are you acting in that moment? Oh, you know, I need to know Christ. Yeah, you know, one day I'm totally going to do that. How are you acting in that moment? You're acting like you know what tomorrow's going to bring. When James says, hey, don't think like that. God does have good plans for you. This is a broken world. If God shows you what to do, it's how he ends chapter 4. This is the last thing he says in chapter 4. For the person who knows what to do and doesn't do it, it's sin to them. What's he saying? If you know God's told you to take a step, but you're kind of like, I got time. That's sin. And that's not James trying to put the screws on us to make us feel bad. It's him trying to say, divert your course. God knows what's ahead. You don't. If he showed it to you now, do it now. So I'm just going to ask if you would stand with me. And we're just going to finish. I just say, hey, team, can you come back up and worship? And I'm going to ask you to take a moment, man. Don't be a battleship, right? Be someone who's just willing to say, God, whatever you want. If you want to come on up and kneel by the altar, you can do that. If you just want to worship where you are. But I can't imagine that we hear this word and God doesn't show you something that needs to say, hey, God, am I wrong? I may be captain of this ship, but I am not the captain of my soul. That's you. Please forgive me. So would you just join me right now in prayer? Lord, we want to take the final moments of this service, and we just want to bow down. We want to divert the course of our pride and say yes, that you have the answer. Thank you for being a suffering servant who came to give his life. Let us follow. Lord, move in us now. And I pray each person here a fresh heart of worship. God, you're greater than me. I worship you, not me. I don't worship anything anybody said. I don't worship any circumstance in my life. I don't even worship a feeling I have. My future is yours. Today and tomorrow, if the Lord wills, this is what I'm going to do. Lead us now, Lord. Let's just worship. The altars are open.